Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a color jungle percussion layer in Ableton Live 12 that adds movement, grit, and stereo energy without stealing any weight from the low end. And that last part is the whole game here. We are not just stuffing more sounds into the track, we're creating contrast, so the sub feels even bigger, the groove feels more physical, and the drop gets that floor-shaking pressure DNB is known for. This technique is especially useful in rollers, jungle sections, darkstep, neuro-influenced DNB and any drop that feels a little too static. The goal is to make the percussion feel like atmosphere and motion, not like a random loop sitting on top of the beat. Let's start with the source material. For this kind of layer, I do not recommend grabbing a full drum loop and calling it a day, unless that loop is already very broken up and very intentional. You'll get better results from small pieces, a shaker, a rim shot, a conga or a bongo hit, a tiny brick slice, a little vinyl tick, or even a few one-shot percussion noises pulled from an Amen or Think Break. Drop your audio into an audio track, turn warp on if you need it, and start chopping the clip at transients or into small rhythmic fragments. Think in little pieces. You want a few anchor hits, some ghost hits, and a couple of syncopated accents that repeat with varnation. If the part feels like a living percussion bit instead of a pasted loop, you're on the right track. Now let's shape the rhythm for DNB motion. If your kick is landing on the 1 and your snare is hitting on 2 and 4, try placing some percussion on the offbeats, like the end of 1, late 2, the A of 2, the end of 3, or a little pickup right before the next bar. That kind of spacing creates momentum, without crowding the main drum pattern. A very important detail here is timing. Some hits should be tight, some should sit a hair late, and some should feel slightly loose. That tiny inconsistency makes the layer breathe. If everything is perfectly rigid, it can sound programmed in a boring way. If everything is loose, the groove falls apart. So keep the rhythm controlled, but alive. If you want even more motion, use the groove pool. A subtle swing or extracted groove from your main break can help glue the percussion into the track. Keep it light. You do not need heavy swing. Often, 10 to 30% is enough to give the pattern a human feel. Now, there are two good ways to build the layer in Ableton. One approach is drum rack. This is great if you want fast control. Load different one-shots onto pads, like shaker, rim, muted conga, a short break slice, or a tiny noise hit, then program your MIDI clip with syncopation. The other approach is audio chopping, which is better if you want that organic jungle chaos. You can slice the break to a new MIDI track, or manually edit and consolidate the best fragments into a loop. A lot of advanced DNB producers combine both methods. An audio texture for character, plus MIDI accents for precision. That gives you the best of both worlds. Now comes one of the most important steps. Cleaning up the low end aggressively. Put EQ8 first in the chain and high pass the layer somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. If the sample is very bright, you can push the cutoff higher. If it has useful body, stay nearer to 180. Then listen for any boxy buildup around 300 to 500 Hz and dip that if needed. If the percussion is harsh, tame the 3 to 6 kHz range a little. If you want a bit of air, a soft high shelf around 8 to 12 kHz can help. The key idea is simple. This layer should not carry low body. The sub should be alone down there. If the percussion has too much low mid weight, it will blur the bass line and flatten the impact of the kick. So be ruthless here. In DNB, clarity in the bottom end is what makes the system feel enormous. Next, we add transient control. If the percussion feels too thin or papery, try drum boss. A little drive can add density and help the hits read through the mix. You usually want the drive fairly low, maybe around 5 to 15%, with transients adjusted depending on whether the hits need more attack or less spike. Boom is usually off or very low for this kind of layer. We do not want extra low resonance fighting the bass. If you want cleaner harmonic thickness instead, saturator is a great option. Turn on soft clip, and a couple of dB of drive, and trim the output so the level matches. That keeps the layer audible on smaller speakers without making it louder in a way that clutters the mix. Now for one of the fun parts, stereo movement. Use utility first to keep an eye on width. Start at 100%, then narrow it if the sound gets messy or facey. In a lot of cases, 80 to 90% width is actually safer, especially if you have multiple percussion layers working together. For subtle motion, Chorus Ensemble can add shimmer to shakers and tiny percussion hits. Keep it gentle. This is a color layer, so the modulation should be felt more than heard. If you want a more obvious sci-fi jungle vibe, Phaser Flanger can work, but use it sparingly. It's better for fills, transitions, and breakdown moments than for a constantly running groove. Auto pan is another great trick. Set it to sync at 1/8 or 1/4, keep the amount subtle, and use a wide phase setting so the motion drifts left and right. This makes a static loop feel alive without adding a single extra note. That's a very good move when you want motion without clutter. Now we add short space. Use hybrid reverb or the standard reverb, but keep it tight. Short decay, low wet amount, a bit of pre-delay, and high pass on the reverb return so it doesn't cloud the groove. Think room, not cathedral. In DNB, too much reverb can smear the pocket immediately. For delay, echo is perfect. Use short synced values like 1/8 or 1/16, keep feedback low, and filter the low end out of the repeats. You can automate delay throws on selected hits only, like the last hit before the snare, a transition into the drop, or a little ghost accent before a bass change. That kind of selective delay creates excitement without turning the whole thing into soup. Now let's make the layer sit properly with the kick and sub. Sidechain compression is essential. Put compressor or glue compressor after the main processing, and sidechain it from the kick or from a dedicated trigger track. Keep the attack fast and the release reasonably short so the ducking follows the groove. You want subtle gain reduction, not a giant pumping effect unless that is part of the style you're going for. If the clash is mostly in the low mids, you can also use smarter routing or multiband control, but for most cases, a simple sidechain does the job. A really good pro move is to use a ghost kick or trigger track, so the ducking happens exactly where you want it, even if the real kick pattern gets more complex later. At this point, you can get even more mileage by using return tracks instead of loading every effect directly on the track. For example, set up one return for a short room reverb, another for delay color, and maybe the third for dirty texture with saturator, redux, or auto filter. Then automate send levels. Keep the texture drier in the verse, more active in the build, and brighter or wider into the drop. That arrangement movement is classic DNB language. And that brings us to the arrangement mindset, which is really important. In the intro, keep the percussion filtered and sparse. Just a few hits, maybe a shaker fragment, a rim accent, a tiny break tick. Let the listener sense the texture before the full groove arrives. In the build, slowly open the filter, widen the stereo field a little, and increase delay or reverb sends. This creates anticipation. You're not just adding energy, you're pulling back from it first, so the drop hits harder. In the drop, tighten things up, reduce excessive reverb, keep the rhythmic function strong, and let the percussion support the groove instead of washing over it. A lot of people make the mistake of overdecorating the drop. In reality, the most effective drop percussion is often more controlled than the build version. Then for the second drop, change something. Swap the sample, flip the groove, add reverse pickups, or automate fresh delay throws. Small changes like that keep the track moving and prevent fatigue. Now let's talk about a few common mistakes to avoid. First, too much low end in the layer. If the percussion has serious energy below 300 Hz, it will blur the bass line. High pass harder and check it in context. Second, too much reverb. Big, lush space can destroy DNB precision. Keep the tail short. Third, over-widening. If the stereo image gets too extreme, the groove can collapse in mono. Keep at least one element stable and centered somewhere in the chain. Fourth, too many hits. If every bar is crowded, the track loses impact. Give the rhythm room to breathe. Fifth, ignoring the snare pocket. If the color layer crowds the snare on 2 and 4, the whole drop feels smaller. Leave space there, or duck harder around those hits. And sixth, forgetting to sidechain. Even a beautiful layer can wreck the low-end punch if it does not duck properly. Let's add a few advanced ideas now. Think in layers of perception, not just sound. This part matters a lot. The percussion layer should often be felt as motion and attitude more than heard as a separate part. Also, reference the bass transient, not just the kick. If your bass has a sharp front edge, leave a tiny pocket around that edge. If it's more sustained, you can get away with a busier percussion layer. Check the texture at lower monitoring levels too. If it disappears completely when you turn the volume down, it may be relying too much on harsh top end and not enough on real rhythmic identity. Use contrast in the arrangement. A thin, filtered percussion layer can feel huge after a dry section. If it's fully on all the time, it stops feeling special. And keep a mono safe anchor somewhere in the chain. A centered element helps the groove stay solid on club systems, even if other pieces are moving around it. Here's a powerful workflow for variation. Instead of changing the whole pattern, change just one bar every 4 or 8 bars. Swap a hit, move a ghost note, replace a shaker with a rim, or shift one accent slightly late. That keeps the loop familiar but avoids repetition fatigue. If you're sequencing in MIDI, use velocity shaping. Don't flatten every hit to the same intensity. Let some notes whisper and let one hit per phrase stand out a bit more. That creates breathing room and makes the groove feel played, not stamped out. You can also use probabilistic hits or alternate clips for occasional accents. That's a great way to make fills feel alive without writing a million tiny variations by hand. Another very effective trick is rhythmic displacement. Copy a layer and move it just ahead or behind the grid. A few milliseconds can completely change the personality. Early feels urgent, late feels relaxed. Mixed offsets create that fractured jungle feeling. Now for sound design extras.